This is a CBC podcast.
The word on the street is CBC Books is the destination for Canadian book lovers. Read reviews, enter contests, and watch videos. Listen to CBC Radio 1's Writers and Company and The Next Chapter all in one place. CBC Books, where readers click. Go to cbcbooks.ca.
Hi there, I'm Alan Neal, and welcome to the All in a Day podcast, where every weekday we try to pick one conversation from today's edition of All in a Day. So, here's today's.
A local author has uncovered the story of one of Canada's most successful opera singers in the 20th century. Jane Cooper wrote the new book, The Canadian Nightingale. It's a historical biography which depicts the life of Bertha Crawford, a girl from small-town Ontario who rose to success as an opera singer in Poland and Russia in the early 1900s. But for more than 80 years, Bertha's story has been mostly forgotten, until now. After 6 years of extensive research, the book will launch this weekend at a concert where musicians will perform songs that recapture the lost voice of Bertha Crawford. But before the concert kicks off on Sunday, Jane Cooper joins me in the studio. Hello.
Hi.
Congratulations on this book.
Thank you very much.
6 years of work.
It was a long process, absolutely.
I mean, I want to hear more about how you got all these details, but take us back. How did you first stumble upon Bertha's story?
Well, I was reading a letter that my great aunt wrote in 1924 when she was working in Poland. And she mentioned in the letter that she'd been to the Philharmonic and she saw this singer perform, Bertha Crawford. And I Googled her. I was just curious to know who she was. And I discovered that she was a Canadian. And I thought, well, odd story, a Canadian singing opera in Warsaw. What's that all about? And I thought I would just, you know, do a little Googling just to, you know, find out what the story was. And I fell down that rabbit hole that you do on the internet.
But you must have discovered at the same time that there wasn't all that much out there. Is that what fueled you to then want to start discovering things yourself beyond the internet?
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, initially there was very little available on her. I mean, she's in the Canadian Encyclopedia of Music, but it's like a four-sentence entry. It's very short. But it said that she'd worked in Poland and Russia. And I immediately thought, there's an interesting story. There's a story that could involve some travel, you know, and some interesting archives to dive into. So it caught my imagination.
Is that a passion of yours, digging through archives?
I do enjoy that. I have to admit, that is my idea of a good holiday, is to get into a get into an interesting archives and flip through century-old dusty newspapers.
We're going to get to that in just a moment first. But tell us about Bertha. She's originally from a small town in Ontario, but ended up performing all over Europe. What led her to travel so far away to become an opera singer?
Well, she went to Europe to train. She'd had a successful career in Toronto and singing across Canada as a singer, mainly with church choirs. She was a soloist with church choirs and she did concerts. But she wanted to be an opera singer, and to train to be an opera singer in those days, people really felt you had to go to Europe. You know, North American training wasn't good enough. So she first went to England. And then she met up with a Polish baroness who became her patron, the Baroness Kosinska. And she took her to Italy first to do her, you know, final finishing studies to learn Italian opera. And then she took her home to Warsaw and introduced her to the opera stage in Warsaw.
Would this have all been like just absolutely mind-blowing for Bertha? Like she's from Elmville?
She was born in Elmville, which is a very small town, right, near Georgian Bay.
And were her roots from Eastern Europe? Or?
No, not at all. Her father was Scottish, so she had, you know, the British roots. I think this was, it was very unlikely chain of events that took her to Warsaw.
And how successful was she there?
Well, she got a contract to sing with the Warsaw Great Opera Theatre, which was the premier stage in Warsaw. And Warsaw was the, second or third biggest city in the Russian Empire at that stage. So it was pretty big deal. But then, of course, along comes the First World War, and she's still in Warsaw in August 1914, and the Germans very quickly are threatening Warsaw, and so the Baroness takes her off to St. Petersburg, deeper into Russia, and there she gets on the stages in St. Petersburg, which was a much bigger deal, because that was like, you know, the capital of Russia in those days, right?
Why did people in Russia and Poland love her so much?
Well, I think, well, she sang well. I think she had a good stage presence. I think she had a very warm, the newspapers write about her as if she had a very warm presence that came across well. But also at the same time, she was highly symbolic because she gets to Russia in near the beginning of the First World War at a time when the Russians are feeling very beleaguered because things were not going well on the Eastern Front, right? The fact that the British and the French were on the same side as the Russians was like a big deal. And so Bertha is seen as a Canadian, right? She's from the British Empire. She's like a symbol of this alliance between the British and the French and the Russians in the First World War. So I think she got a lot of good press and a lot of attention because she was symbolic of this alliance as well as being a good singer.
Is this where the Canadian Nightingale reference comes in?
Well, that's when she first got that name. When she was first called the Canadian Nightingale was when she was in Russia, and then she was also called that later in Poland.
So if she is this big deal in Russia, why have we not heard more about her in Canada, or why did she not have much success in Western Europe? So,
well, after she was in Russia, right? You have the Russian Revolution, and things kind of fall apart in Russia, and she leaves Russia and goes back to Poland with the Baroness, which is now a newly independent country. So Poland was an exciting place to be, and Poland had several opera companies in the 1920s, and Bertha did come back to Canada a few times to sing, but there was no opera company in Canada, right? We didn't have an opera company till the 1950s. So if you wanted to sing opera, you couldn't really do that in Canada, whereas in Poland, there was a lot of opportunities to sing very high-quality classical music in recitals and in opera itself.
Let's talk about this research now that you did. It did involve traveling.
It absolutely did, yes.
Where did you go? What did you pour through?
Okay, well, I had 10 days in Warsaw in the spring of 1912, and I visited the archives.
Of 2012.
There.
You're getting your centuries wrong.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Chasing Bertha.
Looking at 1912 documents, but in 2012. I went to the National Library of Poland and the city archives and some museums, so went to quite a few places. Just 10 days there, and then at the end of 2012, I spent a month in St. Petersburg, and I went to a number of different archives there and spent ages looking through Russian newspapers.
Do you speak Russian?
I do. I speak very bad Russian, but I do speak Russian, and I can read fairly well, and after a month of reading newspapers, I was reading better. and I also had the assistance of a translator as well.
But for all the things you're going through, I mean, what is that? What's that moment like when you find, oh, Here's an article, maybe a photo as well.
It is, I have to say, if you're a historical researcher, it's very exciting. When we actually found a reference to Bertha in a handwritten diary in the National Library of Russia, me and my translator, I was extremely excited. And I was bouncing up and down saying to my translator, what does it say? What does it say? Because she was reading along and it was in handwriting, so I don't read that fast in handwriting. And she was like, oh, I think it says something about a scandal. And I'm like, really, a scandal? So it was very exciting, yes.
It was a scandal? We'll have to read the book.
You have to read the book to find out the nature of that particular scandal, yes.
But you also had a chance, too, to visit where she performed.
I did. Of course, I went to the big theaters where she performed. The Mariinsky and the Mikhailovsky in St. Petersburg are still there. These same very, very old, several hundred-year-old theaters are still there.
What was that like for you?
It was very exciting to be in that same environment and to see how the Russians have preserved all that, those stages and the theaters, and they're still using them. They're still full of people every night. But also to see that, in fact, theaters that were designed 100, 150 years ago don't actually have a really good view of the stage if you buy the really cheap tickets, which I did.
But you're going for the sound.
You got a really good sound quality, but you want to buy the expensive tickets if you want to see the stage well. That much I learned.
So what are you hoping readers will take away from the story of Bertha Crawford?
Well, for me, I mean, there's a lot of things about it, but for me, what I think is most exciting is that she represents this shared moment in history between Canada and Russia and Canada and Poland. So, you know, if we think back to the Canada-Russia hockey series, right? So when you travel in Eastern Europe, in the former Soviet Union, which I have quite a bit, and you talk to people of our age, for people who are listening, for baby boomer age, you find that those people, they all remember the Canada-Russia hockey series. And you can have this conversation because we had this shared moment in history where the Russians and the Canadians, we were all sitting around the TV at the same time watching the same things. So long before 1972, I think we had this other shared moment in 1915, 16, 17, when thousands of people across the Russian Empire understood that Canadians were fighting on their side during World War II through seeing Bertha Crawford, the Canadian Nightingale, perform in theaters.
Like you say, an ambassador. ambassador for us.
Like an ambassador. And then she was very much the same thing in the 1920s in Poland. She became a symbol of Canadian support for the newly independent Poland.
Jane Cooper, congratulations on all this research, putting it together in a book. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been great to be here.
Jane Cooper wrote the new historical biography, The Canadian Nightingale. The book will launch on Sunday, and it'll be accompanied by a concert starting at 2 p.m.
Thanks for listening to the All in a Day podcast. More stories from the show are available on our website, cbc.ca/allinaday.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.